Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jeremy the Impact Door. Of course, we are brought to you by Impact Media. Appreciate those guys. Everything they do throughout the week, make sure we can do these shows. Of course, obviously, Blog Talk Radio as well, along with everybody else, and especially you guys. Without you guys, we might not have a show. So we definitely appreciate that. Quick shout-out, so we'll talk a little more Thursday Night Football. Reggie may join us a little later. We'll see how that goes. But as far as Thursday Night Football, I will get into the breakdown a little bit later on. Obviously, I've already talked a lot about it with this week's Jaguar Zone, but I want to give the quick shout-out to the Bold City Brigade and, obviously, our great friends, the Till Street Hooligans, who have been tailgating up since about 1 o'clock today, I believe. I definitely wish I was down there for that, but unfortunately I'm not. You guys be safe. You guys be careful. I just saw some Bold City Brigade flags on the NFL Network feed, so, you know, that's awesome. Can't wait to see you guys, hopefully, in about a month. But tons of injuries, tons of roster updates, and by roster updates, you'll see what I'm talking about here shortly. Tons to get into. We play Can We Fix It in Falcon Zone. I think you guys will enjoy that one. It's a little different. But, as I said, tons of injuries to get into. I want to leave with something else. I want to lead with the New Orleans Saints naming Dennis Allen as their defensive coordinator. Now, I know what you're thinking. How can they do that? That's what Rob Ryan's job is. Nope. That's why they have fired Rex Ryan. Yep, Santa Claus is going to be looking for work during the holidays. And I like the crap out of all the Ryans. Buddy Ryan, their dad, Rob and Rex. Not only are they entertaining people and they seem like good people, but they're great defensive-minded people. Rob's going to find a job somewhere. I'm not sure quite yet. I'm still hearing, as far as Miami head coaching jobs, that they are looking possibly at offensive coordinator for your Atlanta Falcons, Kyle Shanahan. So what's to say Kyle Shanahan doesn't go to Miami as the head coach and bring Rob Ryan as defensive coordinator? Why not? But like I said, they did name Dennis Allen, who was coaching the league before. I believe he's a head coach with Oakland, which, to be fair, between Oakland and Cleveland, if you're a coordinator, you've pretty much been given a shot at either one of them lately. But Dennis Allen's going to be a good defense coordinator for them. They had to do something. There was a stat that I put up on Facebook and Twitter. I believe I got it from Adam Schefter. Basically, it showed Tom Brady's stats on the right, and it showed the average stats of whichever quarterback in the league played against the Saints' defense, and that cumulative average. And the numbers were very comparable with the front-running Tom Brady MVP candidate for this year. So, you know, they had to do something. And we all knew that Rob was probably the first on the block. Santa, I think you're going to find a Santa's helper there, obviously, for all the kids listening. Rob Ryan is definitely one of Santa's helpers. He's going to be looking for work soon. So, you know, if you guys see him, help a brother out. We're going to find you something, Rob. Next thing I want to tackle, there's a handful of things. I'm going to try to rifle through them because we're all going to watch a game here in a second. And it's going to be a good one. It doesn't matter what the other analysts say. Trust me, it's going to be a good game, especially if you're a Jacksonville fan. Aldon Smith was suspended for a calendar year now. This was an incident stemming back from August, I believe. Could have been the one in January. I can't remember. He has had like 5 arrests in a year. You know, lucky for the Raiders, they were able to get 9 games out of him. He was able to help Khalil Mack and a lot of others. And he was actually starting to get into his groove, so it's kind of unfortunate for Oakland. But then again, Oakland's playing with house money this year in the fact that they were just trying to improve on last year, which they have definitely done. They found a lot of key playmakers, which they've done. As if you're watching NFL feed or watching Myers warm up for the Jaguars, hopefully he gets all his misses out of the way. But back to Aldon Smith, this is, you know, the last time he was suspended for criminal-related activity he had was 9 games. So, you know, this personal conduct violation is going to get him a year. You know, it could benefit, though, because if he stays in shape and continues to work out on his own, then when he comes back this time next year, he'll be the breath of fresh air, be fresh legs, and he's still a great pass rusher. That's why he's still in the league. You know, it's the Greg Hardy situation. To a point, no matter what he does, outside of Aaron Hernandez, he'll probably be in this league. But, you know, he'll be coming back at the right time for them to make a big push. They could be borderline playoffs next year. They might be running that division. I mean, they're in a division with San Diego, who has Phillip Rivers, but has never had an amazing team around him. They're in there with the Denver Broncos, who will probably be Peytonless. We're not sure how they're going to be. They're probably down. And then he's there with... Man, I can't think of the other team. But either way, look out for the Raiders. If not this year, next year. Absolutely. But for Aldon Smith, like I said, that's a year. We'll see you in 365, Aldon. Maybe you can straighten up some things in the process. Speaking of people who are trying to straighten things up, Tony Romo is back off the IR. Adjust your fantasy league accordingly. He's going to start for the Cowboys this week. Shouldn't he? At this point, the Cowboys have got to do whatever they can to make sure you're still not only buying the product and buying seats, but that you're still watching. His team took such a nosedive when it missed his two biggest playmakers in Dez Bryant and Tony Romo on back-to-back weeks. Well, now you have them both back. Fantasy perspective, you might want to wait a week on Romo to let him get his feet under him. But I expect his and Dez's numbers to go up. But, I mean, just for Cowboy fans in general. The Cowboys are showing you they haven't given up on this season. You guys still could make a playoff. Same way that Jacksonville and Tennessee is going to play in a minute. Could still make a playoff. Could still win their division. Looks like the race to, you know, 7 wins is going to win either of those divisions. But if you're the Cowboys, you're putting the most competitive team on the field. Like I said, you're showing your fan base. You haven't given up. You continue to make moves. You know, you released Brandon Whedon earlier today. Houston was able to claim him because they had the injury to Hoyer, and T.J. Yates is their starter, which is always a good reason to grab another quarterback. Atlanta fans know what I'm talking about. They released Christian Michael. He was picked up by the Redskins, I believe. They're showing you that, you know, they're trying here. I believe they added Robert Turbin, who used to back up Marshawn Lynch. I believe they added him earlier. But like I said, this team hasn't given up. The front office haven't given up. They're still going to try to make a run at this. Now, that's not saying that if in 2 games from now they're pretty much out of it, that they wouldn't maybe let Romo rest or play it a little safer. For now, he's in, though, and trust Tony Romo's arm because that has always been the heartbeat of Dallas ever since he's gotten there, and the season rides on him. I hate it that it's on him because I've always felt like if he was on a different team, he might have a couple rings by now, but it is what it is. Good luck to you, Romo. Good luck to you, Cowboys. You know, we want you guys to do good. Speaking of quarterbacks, we got Case Keenum, who is now going to start at quarterback for the Rams. Yep, Nick Foles is just not cutting it. So, since Nick Foles is not cutting it, you go to the next best option. And if you're Jeff Fisher, that's your old buddy Case Keenum. My old buddy, it pretty much is. Case has been on a handful of teams, I believe, with Jeff Fisher. And, you know, it's something different for the Rams because so far, if it's not Todd Gurley running, this team really isn't. They're really not showing anything, you know? But maybe Case Keenum can help him out. Moving on. Peyton broke the record and then proceeded to try to break another Brett Favre record and see how many and catch up in interceptions. He had four or five. I lost count. It was painful to watch. It really was. But Brett Favre sent out a video from a tree stand, because that's what Brett Favre does now. He's retired, and he's a football coach, so, you know, high school's over right now. Good for you, Brett. But he congratulated Peyton in the video. I thought that was kind of nice. Speaking of Peyton Manning, he has plantar fasciitis. I won't play this week. It will be Brock Osweiler's show. It'll be his first start ever. We'll get to see what the kid can actually do. And basically what the plantar fascia is, it is, I believe it's the tendon right at the arch of your foot, which makes it very painful. And Eli Manning actually had this a couple years ago. He actually tore his completely, which pain-wise is actually better from what I hear. When you partially tear it like Peyton has done, it is extremely more painful. They say it's better if you go on and tear it, but it could be a while. So we hope it just heals up. We hope he's back in just as soon as possible because we don't want him to go out like that. And the Broncos don't need him to go out like that because I believe their season rests on the shoulder of him as well. We're just going to stay in the injury format for now. Sam Bradford hurts his shoulder. Landry Jones hurt his foot, so Big Ben came in. I like the Ross Tucker line. Ross said, for his money, there's not a better backup quarterback in the game than Ben Roethlisberger. And like 381 yards later, I agree. Julian Edelman is out with a broken bone in his foot. He's already had surgery. They're hoping he'll be back for the playoffs because we know Patriots are going to the playoffs. I don't know how that's going to affect their offense because it's usually Edelman, Gronk, Edelman, Gronk. Amendola, is he still with them? I guess he is. So I haven't heard of them signing anybody off the street. As Brady said, there's no Edelmans on the street. Be interesting to see what they do. If they try to run the ball more, or if he just spreads it out to people we haven't met yet. I guess we'll find out. Johnny Manziel threw a career-high 372 yards in the air with a touchdown. And he's also, that earned him the starting job for the rest of the year. This is where the Browns have to be. This is not like there's not a better option. Josh McCown could be a better option. But as far as, to me, you have to find out what you have in Johnny Manziel. To find out if you need to draft somebody in the draft, if you need to try to bring in another street free agent, if you need to try to trade for somebody in the offseason, you have to let Manziel start the rest of the year. We've been saying this. They finally did it. You have to let him start the rest of the year to find out if he's going to be your guy going forward. Because Manziel's not awful. He's better than probably at least 8 to 10 other current starting quarterbacks right now. There's probably at least 10 teams that would love to have him over who they have. So I think the Browns are making a good decision here, and we'll just have to go from there to find out how good that decision is. But we wish Johnny the best. We wish the Browns the best. Oh, the Kansas City Chiefs is who I left out. Yeah, the up-and-down Chiefs, the Phillip Rivers Chargers with no real team around him. A couple pieces, but not much. And then the Broncos that will probably be without Peyton next year. It could be the Raiders division. Moving on. The NFL has suspended Washington defensive lineman Junior Gallette 2 games, stemming from his altercation that he had in January. Why is this significant? Well, he's currently injured, I think, for the rest of the year. So he'll serve his 2 games as soon as he's healthy enough to play. Victor Cruz is also done for the year. He had calf surgery the other day. It happens. I hate it for Victor Cruz. He was so close to coming back. Not that big of a blow for Eli and the Giants, though, because he's been doing it without him all year anyway. So when you add him back with Odell Beckham Jr., I don't know if the two of them have played more than a couple games together anyway, but you add those two back fresh next year, and the Giants could really be dangerous, a lot more dangerous than they are right now, although they're hanging on. We're going to jump to a break real quick, and when we come out of the break, we'll talk playoffs. Yeah, playoffs. And preview the Thursday night football game coming up soon. Talk a little Green Bay Packers and a bunch more. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at freeendzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on Endzone. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, the front half of the Endzone Falcons Zone Super Pro Football Show right here on Blog Talk Radio, thanks to Impact Media. I'm Jeremy Impact York. Welcome back. For the break, caught you up on a lot of the injuries, a lot of the comings and goings of the league. A few more things we want to hit here on Endzone, and then we'll jump into Falcon Zone, play Can We Fix It? And, we'd love to hear from you as well. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can obviously tweet us at Team Impact Media or at the Impact 99. You can Facebook message us. You can call 347-826-7448. I would like to say please try to keep it G or PG. If you feel that you can't keep it PG, then keep your phone call to yourself. This is a family-oriented show. There are kids and their families that listen to this show, and we like to keep it that way. Because, hey, I had some great discussions when myself and Reggie, of course, went to the Georgia Tech game on Thursday. It didn't quite work out in Georgia Tech's favor, but we were able to meet a lot of you guys, which we definitely appreciate. It was fun getting to hang out. We were hung out at the varsity for a while with a lot of you guys and talked some shop, talked some football, went into the game, talked some more. It was good to meet all you guys, and shout out to all you guys that found us. Like I said, we're not that hard to pick out of the crowd. And definitely appreciate all you guys stopping to see us and say hello. But, like I said, we love hearing from you guys. And like I said, 347-826-7448. Love to hear from you. I will do my best, even if you have fantasy questions, I will do my best. Remember, I have 5 teams, plus I play on DraftKings, so I'll do my best to help you out if you have those kind of questions as well. Next thing I want to get into is Adrian Peterson being Adrian Peterson. not sure if you guys were aware, but if Todd Gurley, well, Todd Gurley's the number two runner in the league right now, only because Adrian Peterson continues to find the fountain of youth. This week, he had 26 carries for 203 yards, including like an 83-yard run. That is the sixth time in his career he has had a 200-plus yard game. That is tied for the record with, let's see, who is he tied with? Can't remember. It wasn't Jim Brown. It was some, I'll think of it later. But Adrian Peterson continues, you know, in the same way that Todd Gurley is probably 75% of the Rams offense. Bridgewater's okay. He's pretty serviceable. He can make plays when he needs to. They don't have a great receiving core. They don't have, you know, amazing tight end or anything like that. But Adrian Peterson is probably 75 to 80% of their offense. And there's nothing wrong with that. They'll find pieces as Bridgewater matures and all that. Remember, he hasn't been playing the league all that long at all. But Adrian Peterson, 26 carries, 203 yards. Wow. That's Madden-like numbers. That's Madden numbers for sure. You know, Atlanta fans, he'll be here in a couple weeks. If you get a chance, go check him out and watch him play. Hopefully he doesn't have 200-something yards against the Atlanta Falcons. But either way, go watch this guy play. He's one of the hardest working guys in the league. Sure, he makes his mistakes off the field. I'm not saying that I condone him one way or the other, because I do not. But this guy's just hell of a player. But kudos to Adrian Peterson on this huge day. Thursday Night Football. Let's jump into that. Obviously, it's the Tennessee Titans versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have the new bold colors that Nike, I believe, come up with. So you get powder blue and bright gold. Actually kind of cool looking. I don't know about the red and green from last week, but kind of cool looking. I like it better than a couple things that both teams have. So, but I do favor Jacksonville in this. I think Mariota is going to start for Tennessee. They probably have the better offensive line, possibly the better quarterback, but he doesn't really have receiving core, and his running back's just starting to get his feet under him. I think the Jaguars are more prepared for this game, and I think they're going to end up with the victory in it. I think I said on Jaguars on this week they would win by 10 or something like that. That's about what I see. I'm not sure what the line is. I think I'm looking at it now. Really? 3.5? Oh, no. Okay. I was about to say, that's a ridiculous one. But, yeah. Shout out to Teal Street Hooligans and the Bowl City Brigade. Like I said, I'll hopefully see you guys in about a month. And you guys are representing the city well. I've seen you many times on the television. I hope you guys are DVRing it. If not, you should go back and try to DVR it or tape it or something. I think Bortles is going to go off. He's going to have a great day. He's going to throw for over 300 yards. He's going to have at least 3 touchdowns. Yeldon's going to get started up pretty early. He's going to have over 100 yards, possibly a rush touchdown. And you can't forget the Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. I think they're going to have some pretty good days as well. Hey, maybe Julius Thomas even gets in on the action. I think it's about time he does. You know, ever since moving there, I know he's, ever since becoming a Jaguar, he hasn't played much because of injury. He's starting to get healthier and healthier, and Blake has started to find him in the offense. So, if I was a betting man, which, I don't know, we all are at times, right? Can't do it in the state of Georgia, which we're currently in. So, if I were in a establishment that took money for my opinion on this game, I would take the Jaguars. I'm not sure what the point spread is, so you'd have to look that up, but I would take the Jaguars, and you should too, unless you're a Tennessee fan. I know our good buddy Connor lives right down the road from that stadium. Sorry, Connor, I got to go against him. But moving on. Let's see. Yeah, I'll end on a good note. So I'll talk about the Green Bay Packers. They're on like a 3-game slide now. It's kind of scary. Eddie Lacy's back to his pudgy, lazy self. So he's been kind of benched, even though he's the backup, for James Starks. Good for James Starks. Aaron Rodgers has looked almost pedestrian at times. Looked not like his normal self. I believe his girlfriend, Olivia Munn, taking some crap for that, and she's fired back. Hey, don't blame you. We don't know that it's her fault, even though you could make that argument. A lot of sports, you're just trying to find something. But the Lions defeated them in the last second, but the Packers only scored like 18 points. It was like 19-18 or something like that. But the Lions, their first win in Lambeau since 1991. That's like before Brett Favre. Is that not crazy? How you go that long without? And that, they play them once a year there. They haven't won a game in Lambeau since 91. Well, that, can't say that anymore. But the Green Bay Packers, they're, you know, their linebackers, obviously Clay Matthews is still good. Their linebackers, though, are having issues. They still need safety help. They don't have much of a pass rush. This is all things they're going to have to go after in the draft. They're going to have to fix their defense, possibly bring in people, which is as anti-Green Bay as you can get. They usually like to homegrow their guys, but you know, Julius Peppers helped in bringing him in. He's one of the bigger free agents they've ever brought in. But if Green Bay doesn't get their act together, I mean, they're already a game back of Minnesota right now in the division. So, you know, it is what it is there. Last thing I wanted to get into, like I said, I want to end on a positive note. I guess it could be a positive note. And that's if the playoffs started today, what would the playoffs look like? Well, I'm going to tell you. In the AFC, your number one seed is the New England Patriots. Your number two seed is the Cincinnati Bengals, so they would have a week off in the first week. Of course, your number three seed is the Denver Broncos, and currently your number four seed would be the Indianapolis Colts, but that division is separated by two games. The wild cards. The wild cards currently would be the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Buffalo Bills, who won the tiebreaker over the Jets. So in week one, like I said, the Patriots and Bengals would have the week off. Okay. You would have the Pittsburgh Steelers going to the Mile High City of Denver to play the Broncos. I think Pittsburgh would wipe the floor with them. Right now, it's Denver's having some issues, too. And then, of course, the Indianapolis Colts would actually have the home game against the Buffalo Bills. That one could be pretty interesting. Indianapolis still hasn't quite found their footing yet, and Buffalo's been kind of hit or miss. Their offense can score points. It's their hit or miss has been their defense holding people sometimes. But that's pretty entertaining. Now, once again, keep in mind, the AFC South, you got the Colts at 4-5. You got the Texans at 4-5. A game back of that, the Jaguars, who could win tonight and pull within a half game. And then the Tennessee Titans, if they win tonight, they'd be 3-7. They'd be a game and a half back. So, I mean, that division could be wide open. Who knows? Any of those four teams could still take it. My guess is it's between the Colts and Jaguars. But if the Texans found a quarterback, then look out. That would set up some pretty good matchups. Like I said, let's see. I think the Steelers would beat the Broncos, so the Steelers would play the Cincinnati Bengals in the – no, wait. They would play the New England Patriots in the next round, where the Bengals would play one of the Colts and Bills. Currently – I give the Bills a nod on that one, why not? Then that would be Bills and Bengals. That'd be interesting. I think the Bengals would get the nod there. Moving on to the NFC. Of course, right now, you would have the Carolina Panthers, and arguably the best team, by far the best defense, but the best team in the league. Carolina Panthers would be your number one seed. Your number two seed would be the Arizona Cardinals, even though they have the same record as the Vikings. The Vikings would be your three seed, and the New York Football Giants would be your four seed. Wild cards would be the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers. Not sure who would have the tiebreaker. I'll give it to the Falcons just for the sake of what I'm saying. So, you got the Panthers and the Cardinals have the week off on that first week. The Vikings would play the Packers and the Giants would play the Falcons. And unfortunately, I think if they played right now, the Giants would beat the Falcons and the Vikings would beat the Packers, which sets up Arizona and Minnesota, and that would set up, of course, the New York Football Giants and the Carolina Panthers. Those would be some pretty fun matchups. At least I think so. And then the last thing, to stay positive, last thing I wanted to say was the Detroit Lions have appointed Rod Wood as their new team president. Yep, the Lions got Wood, and it is a good thing. He's a new team president. He's going to oversee the business side of the organization, and he reports directly to owner Martha Firestone Ford. If you don't know about Martha, look her up. She's a pretty cool chick. But they are going to make a advisory board so they can search for a new general manager. It's going to have the team owner, the new president, and four vice chairmen, which are Martha Ford Morse, Sheila Ford Hamp, William Clay Ford Jr., and Elizabeth Ford Contolis. Lions fans, trust me, it's going to get better. Although, you may want to consider hanging up that Calvin jersey. I feel like he's going to be on a different team next year. I feel like Oakland's probably where he's going too. But you never know how those things go. And that's going to wrap up all the NFL stuff I got. Stay tuned here on the other side of the break for Falcon Zone. And I'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And that's right, Falcons on top. At least for now. They are a couple games back, but I got faith in them. I think they're about to turn all this around. I'm going to go over some things real quickly as far as the Falcons, and then we'll get you guys out here for the... We'll get out of here in time for the Thursday night game, which we just talked about. Sorry for some of these pauses, but apparently when I made coffee in the Keurig earlier, didn't make a mess or anything. I never do that. But I had this really awesome chocolate donut coffee that I made in there, and it's now smelling up the entire studio, to which I'm getting a lot of crazy looks. A lot of people very mad at me because it was the last one, which is pretty funny. Usually Reggie drinks that with me as well. Coach is a little different. But we are here for the Falcons. We're in the Falcon Zone on Blog Talk Radio, presented by Impact Media. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. You know that. Like I said, just a few things I wanted to get into. We are going to play Can We Fix It here in a few minutes. Just going to tell you some news and notes. and you know, do a season outlook, and we'll give you an idea where I see this team. We might do it every week. We'll see. Obviously, the game this weekend, Indianapolis at Atlanta, right here in the Georgia Dome. If I had to pick right now today, Falcons don't do well against backup quarterbacks, and Matt Hasselbeck will be starting. The Colts are still trying to find their footing. I think if in the bye week Atlanta was able to fix a few things, they should be able to take this game. But my guess right now is it's going to be super tight. It's going to come down to a last-minute field goal. It's going to be hit by Adam Vinatieri. And I think the Colts could win this game. I hope they don't. But my pick as far as for this week is the Indianapolis Colts to win this ball game. Not saying the Falcons are a lost cause or anything like that. No, I feel like until I see a different result, I got to go on the information that I've seen. And I don't like the matchup for the Falcons. You know, I say all the time about winning the bye week. Well, you want to know if the Atlanta Falcons won the bye week? Here's a quick checklist. Did any player who was not injured get injured? No. So there's a check. There's a point. We got one. It'd be nice if you get anywhere between 3 to 5 of these. It'd be great. Number two, a player that was injured is now healthy enough to possibly play in the game. Yep, there's a couple of those. In fact, who knows, even better. So, another check mark. That's two. So, you know, that's all we need, really. The third one. Did any player get arrested this week? Nope, I didn't see any. And I actually reached out to some friends of the show at the AJC just to see if they'd heard anything. And no, they hadn't. So, there's three check marks. Another thing you like about the bye week, you know, did the team work hard and work on things, or did they just take the week off to rest? Well, they did a little bit of both. They didn't take any time off, but they went a little easy while still working hard in certain facets. I was able to get some of the video from the practices this week. They worked hard on a lot of things, but Dan Quinn also knows when to not push his horses and able to let them, you know, not injure themselves, but still be effective. So, did they win the bye week? Absolutely. Absolutely they won the bye week. Be happy for that. There's a lot of teams that don't win the bye week. The 49ers very rarely win bye weeks here lately. This team did sign cornerback T.J. Heath to the practice squad. He is 6 foot, 190 pounds. I like corners that are tall like that because all the receivers are at least 6 foot or so, or a lot of receivers are. So you definitely want to go height for height there because most corners are 5'9", 5'10". But they did sign T.J. Heath. Just goes back to the depth. This team. We got Reggie on the line. Reggie, you with us?
Yes, sir, Jeremy. How about you? How you doing, man?
I am doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Man, I'm good, man. Sorry, man. I was in assignment, and I apologize for being late, but where we at? We Falcon Zone, or we still in zone?
No, we just went in the Falcon Zone, actually. I was previewing. I just said that they won the bye week, and by winning the bye week, that means nobody got arrested, nobody got hurt that wasn't previously hurt, and the people who were previously hurt are now good enough to possibly play this week. And, you know, you didn't really run them too hard, but yet they took time to rest this week. So you won the bye week.
Right, right. So I'm sitting here with my man Ebony. He's one of the number one Falcon fans here, so – we've been sitting here talking football a little bit, so we might have him chime in and say a few words here, you know, here shortly. But he knows Falcons football. Let's put it that way.
Hey, that's never a bad thing. And as I said earlier on the show, before you joined us, we never have a problem with any fan that wants to chime in on our show, as long as they keep it PG. Because there are a lot of families and a lot of little fans of the show. As I was saying earlier, we met a lot of our fans at the Georgia Tech game, and a lot of them are smaller. It was nice to get to meet the little ones.
Oh, absolutely. He's 13. Evan's 13, by the way, so
okay.
He's one of
okay.
the little fans.
Well, I don't know. I know a lot of 13-year-olds that are already taller than me, so I don't know about little, but we'll say that he's one of the younger fans.
Right.
But I was just saying that they signed cornerback T.J. Heath to the practice squad, and the thing I like about T.J. Heath is that he is a 6 foot, 190, and with a lot of speed corner, and that's important because a lot of corners are 5 foot nothing, and when you go against 6 foot three Calvin Johnson, 5 foot nothing can't defend him.
Well, right. I mean, what you're seeing is Dan Quinn is starting to bring in his own people, right? Those prototypes, those guys that look and play like Richard Sherman, those taller cornerbacks, those are the people he's starting to get into his system now. So that makes sense that they would make a signing like that.
Yep, absolutely. That's exactly what I thought when I saw it. And I had kind of went over the Indianapolis game coming up this weekend, but since you joined us now, we can definitely jump back into it. How do you see this playing out? And then I'll just reiterate kind of what I said a minute ago.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm Falcons seems to be cursed by the backup quarterbacks. And considering Andrew Luck is not playing, they don't have much of a running game. I think they've got like the number 28 or 29 pass defense. I mean, it's all the makings for a Houston Texans type of game, but, I mean, it just really depends on what Falcons team shows up. This is the one game that, you know, they need to beat them like they need to beat them, right? It shouldn't be close. We shouldn't be biting our nails in the fourth quarter. We should be, you know, into the second or third string by the time the fourth quarter comes around. So, you know, this is going to tell the tale about their psyche, right?
Right. That yeah, I absolutely agree, and that's to a point what I said earlier. Although I'm not sure if your guest there will like my prediction either, but I said this is going to end up being a very close game because Matt Hasselbeck to me can still play, and it's going to come down to a last minute field goal, kind of like the Detroit game that I talked about a little earlier. The thing is, it's going to be Adam Vinatieri with the game winning field goal, and that's probably not going to sit well with Falcons fans.
Oh, so you picked Indianapolis to win. Okay.
Well, yeah, like I said, it's going to be a nail-biter. It's going to be 22-21, something like that, I think.
Okay. I don't think it's going to be that close, but, I mean, hey, that's what makes our show so great, right? We got varying opinions.
Exactly. And to be fair, I've picked the Falcons probably 80% of this season, and I'm not trying to balance it out, but even you know, most of the time I give the actual, you know, unbiasedness on it because I'm not a homer for the Falcons, but I hope that it doesn't end that way. But for the sake of making that pick, I just think the Colts are gonna find a weird way to win this, like a special teams play or something.
Right. So look, I've got Evan sitting here. He's itching. He's squirming right now as he listens to your prediction. So I'm gonna allow him to give his very brief prediction about Evan. Who do you think, Falcons or Indianapolis?
Falcons.
Why do you say that?
Because the Colts have no one. Andrew Luck's on the bench. I mean, like there's no receivers anymore. You know, all they have is Frank Gore, who just got taken off of the 49ers, probably not working well with anybody. And you know, like no, they don't have any teams. You know, they don't have defense or offense or special teams at all.
So there you have it.
I thought that was pretty spot on there. He had some good points.
Right.
You know, I guess we'll have to mind ourselves. We might get replaced next week by Evan.
Hey man, he is a Falcon fanatic. He is. It was like looking at myself in the mirror.
Wow, that's a weird looking mirror.
Right.
No, you know I'm messing with you. Is he the one that is a lot of times in the game day photos with you?
No, that's my son.
Okay.
That's my son,
okay.
Malcolm. But
okay.
I'm going to try to get him to the Minnesota game or either the Carolina game with me. So he's a true fanatic. So.
Yeah, you know, that's something we've been talking about here at the studio is the remaining schedule that we were going to try to maybe do a group trip to or something. And I think management's saying that either Carolina or New Orleans is looking pretty good. So we'll have to figure that one out.
Right, absolutely. I'll make sure you get a chance to converse with Evan, and he'll remind you of how you picking Indianapolis was not the thing to do.
Hey, it wouldn't be the first time, and you know, given the points he just made, I happily welcome it. He clearly knows what he's talking about.
Absolutely.
But let's see. I don't know. Do you want to play Can We Fix It, or do you want to do a season projection? I figure every week from here on out, we're going to go over the schedule and figure out where we think this team's headed based off each week's performance.
Right. I mean, Can We Fix It is kind of a, I guess, would be apropos more next week after we see what they do on Sunday.
I did come up with one.
Okay, which one was that?
I'll wait on it. We'll go ahead and do Can We Fix It because I want to end on a good note, and I feel like the projection is going to be a good note. So if the soundboard guy can wake up and hit the button, we'll do Can We Fix It.
Can we fix it? Yes, we can. Can we fix it? Yes, we can. Can we fix it? Yes, we can.
Yes. And, of course, Reggie, at the Georgia Tech game, I explained to you where I got that music, which makes it all that much more fun for me to play it.
Absolutely.
This week we're going to play Can We Fix It? And, of course, the subject is going to be Mr. Devin Hester, who has been almost missing in action. I almost thought I saw his picture on the back of a milk carton the other day, but I assured people he's not missing. He's just still injured.
Right. So here's the deal, man. And we talked about this before.
Right.
Eric Weems was always a stopgap. I honestly believe that there was a reason that Justin Hardy was not allowed to run kickbacks and returns. They've got to justify Devin Hester's offense or his salary. I think you will probably see him run one back this next week coming up. He's got to justify himself now. Eric Weems hasn't done the job. He's held down the fort. He hadn't fumbled anything or he hadn't put us in bad positions. However, he hasn't done very much to give us good field position. Justin Hardy, I think, could have been that guy, and I honestly believe that Justin Hardy emerging is probably why you got Devin Hester coming back. So let Devin do what he does. I think they were running him out of some offensive sets for practice this week, but I'm on a wait and see with Devin right now.
Right, I agree. And, you know, we've had the discussion on and off the show that this could be the last season we see Devin Hester in Atlanta. Turf toe, especially for a guy like himself, I mean, it ended Deion Sanders' career when it's a toe-related injury for those kind of guys. And, you know, at least 8 games a year he's playing on turf. Actually, at least 9 games a year if you include New Orleans. So, you know, he either would have to play somewhere on the West Coast that plays a lot of outdoor games or – possibly hang it up. And in no way am I trying to bang on him because I'm staring at a signed football by Devin Hester right now in the studio. So, you know, definitely a fan of the guy. But it's, you know, like you're saying with Weems, he's a great gunner as far as chasing down people on kicks, and he's serviceable as a return guy. Doesn't really set you up very well, like you mentioned. You know, it's the same way that you would have a serviceable backup if your quarterback went down. That's pretty much what Weems has been, just kind of the stand-in, you know, hold my place in line while I go use the bathroom or something. I do feel like Devin Hester has at least one good return or run back in him, and I do hope it is in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't think you see him leave anymore for the rest of the year. I mean, he has to know the writing's on the wall. Dan Quinn hasn't made it a secret that he's not, you know, that he's not willing to replace those who aren't serviceable.
Right.
I just think that, you know, turf toe's hard to come back from, man, but this game's going to tell the tale.
Yeah, it definitely is. And once I explained to some people what turf toe was and they realized that even, you know, me and you can get it, it's not very fun to have.
No, especially not when speed is your main component. I mean, because that's your push-off, that's everything, right? So,
right.
Like you mentioned before, it ended Deion Sanders' career, who still had the physical skills to play. He just can never come back from that injury.
Right. And if you notice a lot of times that he's when he does the Thursday night games or whatever day he's on, I forgot which day it is. I think it is Thursday. If it's a indoor facility that the game is at, a lot of times he's not on the sideline because it still gives him issues walking on carpet.
Right, right, right. So, yeah, I mean, and here it is, what, he's been out of the game well over, what, 10 years now.
Yeah.
And he's still suffering from the effects of it. So, I mean, again, I'm with you. I like Devin Hester. I think he's been a dynamic player. He's definitely maybe not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's definitely a Hall of Famer at some point. He's broken all the big records, the ones that matter in his area. But, I mean, Dan Quinn's very much on a win-now situation, and he's willing to get rid of whoever's not ready to roll right now.
Right, absolutely. And you know, especially when, like you said, Hardy is good at returning, plus most teams just draft a kick returner every year anyway.
Right. I mean, and Harden doesn't make $3.5 million a year either.
Exactly. Plus, he can play multiple positions.
Absolutely. He's actually a much better receiver than he is a kick returner and a punt returner.
Yep. But that leads us to the season projections. And we'll just run through the games real quick. And you know, just off the top of our heads, based off the way the team is playing right now, if these are wins or if these are potential losses. Should be easy enough. I'm sure we'll argue about halfway through this, at least towards the end. We just talked about the Colts. You got the Falcons winning. I got the Colts narrowly pulling this one out. Of course, the game after that's here in the Dome as well against the Minnesota Vikings. What do you think about that one?
I think Minnesota, that's a potential to lose. It depends on the Falcons team that shows up. They can beat them, but it just depends on the team that shows up. So that's a potential for a loss.
Exactly, and the main thing with their offense, now their defense is emerging, the Vikings, but their offense is about 75% Adrian Peterson. I mentioned it earlier the same way that the Rams' offense is 75% Gurley. So I think if you can – I don't know that you can stop Adrian Peterson, but if you can contain him to a point, keep him to, I don't know, around 100 yards, then I actually think the Falcons can win that.
Right, and Atlanta's been stout on the run. It's that we haven't been able to score points. And their
right.
defense is pretty stout. So that's kind of where I see us having a potential to lose that position or that game. Now, their pass defense isn't that great, so we can really destroy them on the pass if we do a little bit more no huddle than we usually do, right? I think you'll see a lot of no huddle in that game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you know, like we said last week, I think the issue with the Falcons as far as the offense is they're not letting Matt Ryan make calls at the line.
They're going to have to do it, and I think you're going to see it. The fans have been calling for it. Quinn has all but said that that's going to do it. Matt's always all but said that that's going to happen. So I think you'll see a different offensive team this year. But bottom line, Minnesota's a good enough team. They're actually in first place in their
right.
division right now. So I think that's one of those games that, you know, we'll win, but I don't think it'll be a blowout like I think it'll be on Sunday.
Exactly. And then the week after that, the Dirty Birds travel down to Tampa to take on the Cannon Blasters. I like a lot of things the Cannon Blasters are doing, which is the new name I'm giving them currently. But I think the Falcons are still a better team than Tampa, and I see the Falcons with a victory on that one.
Right. I think this is a revenge game. I think they go down to humiliate Tampa.
Yep. Are you okay with me calling them the Cannon Blasters?
Yes, I'm okay, okay with you calling them anything. I'm not a Tampa fan, so I don't know what you want.
I'm just
nice stadium,
that.
Though. I'm going to say, nice
yeah.
stadium, very nice stadium.
Oh, absolutely. It was where I saw my first pro game, and it's just beautiful landscape around there as well. Next game, they go to Carolina to play play the Black Cats there. I'm trying to come up with a better name for them. That one's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, Cam always comes to play the Falcons well because he is a Falcon fan, as we all know. I'm actually hoping – so I've got two thoughts here. If Carolina's undefeated when they play Atlanta, Atlanta beats them. If they're not, then it'll be a fight and Carolina wins. I don't think Carolina will run away with it simply because now I think Carolina has now become Atlanta's new rival.
Right.
And they know they have to catch Carolina. I think Roddy White goes off in that game. Mark my words, Roddy White will have at least 100 yards receiving in that game. I think he goes off. But if Carolina's undefeated, I think that's when Carolina takes their first loss.
That's not a bad
Otherwise, I think Carolina pulls it out. I think we beat them here, but if they're not undefeated, I think they win there.
I like that thought. I've actually got it as a split in the season with them. So I actually gave them the nod with the home game, and I feel like we're going to beat them in the dome. So either way, I think they're going to split those. But, yeah, it's all about containing Cam with them. If you can, because he really is throwing to a bunch of C-plus receivers, if that. In fact, half his receiving core are punt returners. So, I mean, you know, they really
don't
have
much. I'm also hearing, too, that if they are undefeated and Atlanta does what they're supposed to do these next 2-3 weeks, I think they flex that to a primetime game.
Wow, I could see that.
Yeah, because you'd have a 9-3 Falcons team going against a 12-0 Carolina get the team. I mean, I think they flex that one. That's going to be a heck of a game. I'm actually altering my plans and trying to make plans to be there because that's going to be a heck of a game to be at.
Well, I wish I could, but the following week I'll be in Jacksonville for that game as we get to it. So
yeah, I'll be there as well. And just since we're transitioning into that, I think Jacksonville doesn't lay down they're obviously trying to turn a corner. But I think, you know, depending upon that Carolina game, you know, which I think is going to be very physical. I think Atlanta has the potential to lose that game just because they'll be beat up coming off of that Carolina game. I still think Atlanta squeaks it out.
Man, it's so tough. Obviously, I have allegiances to both teams for the same reasons. And I've actually spoken to some of my Jacksonville buddies that are I've seen a handful of them on the broadcast that's going on tonight with their game happening here in a few minutes. But man, it really depends. The Jaguars have a defense that's really gotten better. It's really started to emerge as a run stopper and everything here lately. To me, they have probably a top 7 offense as far as they'll sling the ball, not afraid to run past you, which could be the Achilles heel to the Falcons, who have trouble scoring points that we talked about. So if it turns into a score for score, the Jaguars will win it. But if the Atlanta defense can at least make a few stops, then Atlanta should be able to win in Jacksonville.
Right. Again, it's going to all be predicated on that Carolina game. I think Atlanta's going to be, whether they win or not in Carolina, that's going to be a physical, physical game. There's going to be some casualties. It's going to be some beat-up players. So Jacksonville could possibly sneak away with one that week.
Yep, absolutely. I heard him agree there. We will always welcome his input on the show. I have no problem with that. And management listens to me for some reason. But definitely when you're down there, I'll have to get you over to the Bold City Brigade, Teal Street Hooligans tailgate.
Yeah,
you can meet all those guys.
Yeah, my flight lands at about 9:30, 10-ish Sunday morning. So I'm going to come straight from the airport over to the stadium. I'll call you as soon as I land, and we'll connect from there.
They are at the corner of Duval and Bryan. It's about, I don't know, 4 blocks or less from the stadium.
Right.
I'll drop a GPS pin or something like that because I think they get started pretty early. I know today they started at 1 o'clock for this game that's going on here in a few minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So, but let's move to the last two games real quickly. I promised some of our listeners we would be out of here in time to watch the kickoff of this game. Of course, the next-to-last game is here in the Dome, and that's against the Panthers. That's the one I think the Falcons are going to win. Like I said, they're going to do a season split with the Panthers, in my opinion, and wouldn't hurt my feelings if this got flexed.
Absolutely. If anything, I think that it depends on that first game. If Atlanta wins that first game, they may flex that one. If they don't flex the one in Carolina, one of the two will get flexed. I'm with you on that. And if you're going to New Orleans and you've already sounds like and I know you've known you long enough to know that you probably picked New Orleans in that last game. I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. I think that Atlanta smashes New Orleans that last game, just because.
I would agree with you, except for one, Drew Brees seems to have woken up ever since the Atlanta game. Their offense can score a lot of points, but they got rid of Santa Claus. So when you get rid of Santa Claus as your defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen is actually a better fit down there in that scheme. So I think this is actually going to be a tight game, but I think the Falcons can pull it out.
I don't think it's going to be close. I think there will be so much emotion going on in that game. I think Atlanta beats the brakes off of New Orleans. I don't think it's close.
Well, once again, we'll see if I can change your opinion before then or before next week. But since I mentioned it, it's the story I led with. But what are your thoughts on the firing of Santa Claus, who's now looking for work here at the holidays?
I honestly, when I think about Rex Ryan and Sean Payton, I think Nick Saban and
Lane Kiffin. Yeah.
I think that he's got the reins and the cuffs on this guy so tight that he won't let this guy do what he does best. And you know, you've got personnel issues already. They made the big signing of Jarius Byrd, which they stolen from Atlanta, thank God, just like I think about now. And I know you think about this often, how I made so much flack about the fact we didn't go get Jadeveon Clowney and guys not on the field now. But I just think that, you know, it had to happen. He's just a scapegoat, but there's bigger problems with New Orleans. They have cap issues. I mean, you can only have so much talent with the cap issues. But I think that under Sean Payton, and maybe Sean Payton did them a solid, because I think Sean Payton ends up in USC personally.
Wow. I didn't even think about that possibility. Earlier today, and actually earlier on the show, I suggested that maybe Kyle Shanahan take over the Miami job and take Rob Ryan with him. So, that would be interesting for Sean Payton to go to USC, but I like it.
Yeah, I think Sean Payton goes to USC. I think USC is basically an NFL team, right?
Right.
From salary and the whole nine. I think Dan Campbell keeps the job in Miami.
I kind of hope he does, really. I mean, Kyle Shanahan can go to another team for all that matters. But, yeah, I like what Campbell's doing down there. He's showing that he actually – you don't have to be a coordinator to be effective as a head coach.
Man. All you have to do is get the team to believe in your vision, and that's what he's done. He's gotten the team to believe in his vision, and it shows.
Exactly. And then real quickly, I'll get both of your takes on this. What do you think about the game happening here in a few minutes?
Well, I'm looking at it now. I like Jacksonville's new uniforms. I think they definitely fit their helmets. I think I like the Jaguars tonight. Blake Bortles, man, he's starting to pick it up a little bit. I like that. I'm starting to like the kid, and they're starting to play a little bit. So I think Jacksonville pulls it off.
Oh yeah, they're definitely exciting to watch, and that's one of the fun things of us covering them here at Impact Media is we've gotten kind of an in-depth look, and we got friends down there that see the practices and that kind of thing, and. Yeah, I already picked Jacksonville earlier. I think I can't remember this week what I said. I think they win by 10 or something like that. But that Mariota kid on the other side ain't half bad.
Yeah, but he throws a lot of interceptions, and Jacksonville has shown they have an opportunistic defense.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, besides Delanie Walker, who is Mariota throwing to? Nobody. Everybody's hurt.
I think he'll be on his back most of the night, believe it or not.
Hey, that's good, because if you actually look up at the Jacksonville skyline, it's very pretty at night.
As Blake Bortles will find out on December 20th, by the way.
He might. Matt Ryan might get the same view, though. But I will have to say, I don't know if you listened a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you caught the show, but I actually made a point to say a time when you were right and me and Coach were wrong, and it pertained to the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, really? Which one's that? Do tell. Do tell, oh, Jeremy. Do tell.
You did miss this one. No, I said as much as we all like Jake Matthews and we all like his family lineage and that kind of stuff, and he's solid, he's a cornerstone, the more it plays out, they should have got Taylor DeJuan.
Taylor DeJuan.
Well, think about this way.
But you know what? Actually, Jeremy, I have to be a good sport and say let's go 50-50 on that, because I did – remember, I was upset that we didn't trade up to number one to get Jadeveon Clowney. So it kind of evens out. How's that?
I have no problem admitting I'm wrong in this case. But, I mean, it's nothing personal to Jake, but he stays injured a lot. It's because he's having to do so much. But he stays injured a lot, and he gets a lot of penalties. Where Taylor DeJuan is more aggressive, he anchors the Tennessee line, but he gets less penalties. It's crazy that the more aggressive guy gets less penalties.
Right. He's and it's the type of offenses they came from. I mean,
right.
Jake Matthews had to block a little bit and let Manziel run around a little bit, and then Manziel was gone, right? But Taylor DeJuan had to actually stand in the trenches and do what he needed to do. Matt Ryan's not a Johnny Manziel type of quarterback. He's going to stand there like a statue. So unless you've got a mobile quarterback, man, those penalties are going to show up. But I think Bruce is going to get him right over time. And it's not going to take long.
And then before we get out of here, we'll get, if Evan's still with you there, we'll get, you know, you talked about that mobile quarterback, and we talked about last week as far as Colin Kaepernick possibly being brought in as a backup to challenge Matt Ryan. He would actually fit the scheme a little more. What does Evan think of Colin Kaepernick as a Falcon?
I don't think you should call him Kaepernick as a Falcon.
Why not?
Because I don't like him, for one. He ruined our chances of going to Superwoman. Man, that's, like, been a dream for me. I can't stand him. I don't want to look at him. I want to see him in the red, black, and white uniform, man.
Well, what about that? So let's talk skill set. Do you think he has the ability to run the offense better than Matt Ryan?
No.
Why not? Okay, there it is.
There you go.
He's going by overall record.
Hey, I could argue both sides of that, but you know, when I agree with the person I ask, I let it go.
Hey man, out of the mouths of babes, what can you do? Good job, Devin.
Exactly. We might have to have him on more often.
Hey man, my plan is to get him on a little bit. I'm gonna coach him up a little bit and get him to get beyond the emotional side, and I think he'll bring a good insight, man. I've been having some great conversation with him, and he gets football. He understands the nuances. He understands the players, and so we just got to get him emotional out of it, but get the emotion out of it. But we'll get him there.
Hey, there's never any problem with emotion in sports, and it'll be good to have somebody on the show that knows about football, right?
Absolutely, especially at 13. So.
Yeah,
again,
exactly.
I'll make sure you get a chance to meet him either Minnesota or Carolina, and we'll start to get him on the show, man, a little bit, and start coaching him up. We'll get him impact zoned. How's that?
Exactly. We'll get him in the zone.
All right.
But anything that I missed or anything you want to mention?
No, sir. I think we're good, man. Again, thanks for bringing me on a little late. I apologize, but
it's all right.
You know, I'll are you going to be able to make it out to the Falcoholics on Sunday?
I will not make it out there this Sunday.
Okay. right. Well, I might do some on-site stuff. I may have an opportunity to talk with Chuck Smith and if I can get an exclusive with him, then I'll record it and we'll kind of figure out how we can move it and pull it into the show. So just text me a list of questions and we'll try to see if we can fit them in.
Okay. And if you do make it out to the game, make sure to go to the 92910 across from Gate B, I think it is.
Right.
Harper will be over there. Make sure to tell him hello. I think Hugh Douglas might be over there with him.
Okay. If Harper's going to be there, I'll definitely go by there and speak to him.
Oh, yeah. Been a long time since I'd seen him. Well, not really a long time. I see him every week at Georgia State, but it's always fun to go by there, and he got to meet my mom, and my mom got to meet him, and I think they're fans of each other now.
Right, Mama York. That's my girl.
But I guess that's going to do it for us this week. So, Reggie and Evan, it was a blast having you guys on. And for everybody here at Impact Media, thanks for joining us on the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show presented by Impact Media. We'll see you guys next week.
All right, go Falcons!